is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Han Solo and Chewbacca walk into a bar. Where'd they go?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for July 20th, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good, man. I'm really good.
We've got the whole team back together because we also have my daughter Julie running the cameras. How are you, Julie?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm wonderful. We had a great weekend, and it's time to down on a...
By the way, it's a little funny for you to ask how she is. It's like you haven't talked to her all day.
It's been a long day. Just making sure, for the listener's benefit.
Okay. All right.
You never know, because, you know, you record on Sunday night, and it comes out on Wednesday, and you want to make sure your daughter's still okay 3 days later.
Yes, you do.
That media corner thing, man, I thought you were going to start out with a joke. Han Solo, Chewbacca, and a priest walk into a bar.
And the bartender says,
welcome to the media corner. Who shot first?
Yeah.
Where did they put the body of Greedo? Over there in the media corner. For those of you new to Technorama, like I said, we do take a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. We just have a whole lot of fun. We got a whole bunch of stuff lined up tonight. Before we get into that, though, I want to remind you that this show is brought to you by the good people at Citrix, who bring you GoToAssist Express, the wonderful remote diagnostic tool that lets you see what's on someone else's screen. Man, oh man, I can't tell you how many times somebody's called me up and said, I'm having a problem with my computer. They are either across town or across the world.
Chuck, I got a GoToAssist story.
You do?
Yes.
Testimonial. Throw it in there.
Well, I used it this last weekend, this last week. My mother-in-law was having trouble. She wanted to make a little shortcut to her webpage. And I was trying to tell her to click and drag over to the desktop, and she just couldn't quite get the idea. So I said, wait a minute, I got exactly the right thing. And I sent her a link. She clicked on it, went through the whole thing, and get this, I controlled her computer, and she was in California. Imagine that.
There you go. All from your desktop. So you didn't have to do anything. You just, it's something as simple as what you and I would think, click and drag. That's easy. Mm-hmm. Or you know, you're drag the email to your desktop. I'm like, what? Huh? Open a new window.
Yeah, click and drag's always been a tricky thing, and it's great when you can show it to them.
Yeah, or how about shift and, you know, some operation. Shift, click, or just like, oh, man,
open up
it.
A terminal and type in format, C colon, /S. Now, I forget the /S. Okay.
You, too, can enjoy the freedom of GoToAssist Express and helping someone remotely by using GoToAssist Express free for 30 days. You got to try it. And the way to do that is point your web browser to GoToAssist.com/techpodcast, and you can be a hero to your mom, your friends, your people you don't even like. Just
you can make up for all that money you borrowed from your parents and never paid them back. And
that's not going to work. Now charge them tech support dollars. Free 30 days. GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. It's the way to go. Trust us.
Tech support dollars, is that like Monopoly money?
From your parents? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We'll go with that. Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we've got, would you want a bedroom design like an airplane cockpit? Beware of what you purchase on eBay, and task management with geek rewards. You gotta love it. All that coming up right after this.
More money.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Hi,
Hi, this is Erin Gray, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Twitter can now transfer smell between users and convey emotion. I'm too loud. Twitter can now transfer smells between users and convey emotion. In a surprise announcement today, Twitter has rolled out new features in a move towards a new business model. Twitter now supports the Internet Smell Protocol, designed to pass smells between users so they can better relate to one another's experiences. Biz Stone says, "When someone is at a rock concert and they take the time to let their friends know about it on Twitter, wouldn't you like to include the smell too? To have your friends smell what you smell? It can really bring the world closer together. Can you smell what the Colonel is cooking?" Chip Queerty, Technorama News.
Ay. Where do we get that guy?
I smelled a tweet from Chuck earlier. It smelled like cheese.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
I was referring to Wisconsin, nothing else.
I want to know what the protocol is. Is it like STML, the Smell-O-Tex markup language or something?
Yeah, you have to have a special WYSIWYG editor for that.
What you smell is what you get?
Yeah, WYSIWYG.
It's still WYSIWYG. Work it out. You think about that while I give a shout out to the chat room. Looks like they've gone with the summer theme. We've got Gru, Step KC, Tomasi. We're not very original because we just stay there all the time. We live in this chat room. We have AD, Here Comes the Sun, Ben Von, Bookaroo, Burning Tim, Claudio. Oh my God, it's hot. Captain Rootbeer is warming up. I think that's it because it runs off the screen. George Starcher, Nightstar, Funk, Gimme AC. That sounds like a 70s song. Gimme AC. Rev Tim, Smart Astronaut. I don't think he even needs to change his handle.
No.
And W Smelting. No, WS Smelting.
Does he work with copper? Other metals?
Turning ore into raw metal.
I work in the metallurgy field.
Looking at him, I'm still looking at the chat room.
I'm sorry.
They're throwing
I'm
names out there.
To have you both back.
Isn't it fun? Yeah. Happy birthday on the 26th to Aaron Heath from Adelaide, Australia. G'day, mate. And on the 27th, Will, the computer guy, don't forget it's your wife's birthday. You have... Hey. 1 week. What?
Hey, when people say that to people in Australia referring to the g'day mate, I wonder if they go, it's another foreigner trying to fit in. We never say that here.
We just use that on commercials that we send to the U.S.
Yeah, it's like Kip fit on Futurama. Sighing.
I think we have some news.
More news?
Julie, roll that news.
Wait.
Impending news, everyone!
Impending.
The impending news is actually that wireless presentation controllers, you know, those little things you hold that presenters hold in their hand to move PowerPoints or something forward and backwards and pause and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are proving to be juicy targets for hackers.
Oh, no.
I can just imagine sitting in an audience going, slide forward, and all of a sudden it goes back two. And you go slide forward two, and it goes back one. And you're supposed to announce the winner, and the winner is, and it jumps ahead, and everybody knows the winner before you say it.
Here's the opening slide again.
This comes to us from Engadget. Wireless presentation controllers have changed corporate life forever. We all know that. Instead of businessmen and women staying tethered to their keyboards while delivering boring PowerPoint presentations, they can wander about the room gesticulating. That sounds like you have to have clothes put on.
Gesticulating, like digesting.
Authoritatively. Actually, if you read Sherlock Holmes, he likes to use that term.
Yeah.
With an ego-boosting gadget in hand while delivering that same boring presentation. Now, a security researcher by the name of Niels Tusnik is showing that those wild gesticulations open the door to crazy hacks, with most wireless presenters being recognized as full keyboards, some even as keyboards and mice. With no encryption provided, it's a reasonably simple task for an attacker to replicate the signal, escape the presentation, and completely compromise the machine. Tusnik uses an Arduino board for his work here, impressing us while sending...
Arduino. That's like one of those... you can get those Arduino. Little boards from... Yeah, you can get them from the magazine.
Is that like a breadboard thing?
Yeah, it has chips and everything. You can program it to do like a controller.
Oh, okay. I hadn't seen it spelled that way. Mm-hmm. Send a chill into the hearts of slide gurus everywhere. So he's going to just show up with an Arduino board and take over your presentation?
See, this is one of those that you got to like physical access to. it sounds menacing at first, but I think you have to actually touch the thing, don't you?
Or could you intercept the RF signal? And aren't there more than one RF? Because some of these things work. It's interesting because I've used them where you plug in the little USB component and it instantly recognizes it. Others, you have to install a driver or something. So I'm thinking there's not a standard that you can really hijack.
What if you were using your iPod Touch or your iPhone?
Over Bluetooth.
Yeah. I mean, well, they have that, you know, well, I guess you'd have to be running Keynote or something, but you can use that little remote.
No, I can do PowerPoint on my Mac or PC. I've done it from my Touch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the most elegant thing, but it works.
Yeah.
I mean, I like having my little Griffin AirClick that's no longer made, but it's nice because it's small and it fits in your hand and you can keep it sort of obscured even with my tiny hands. Yeah. Whereas the Touch is bigger and bulkier.
I could almost carry this Bluetooth Apple keyboard. It's, you know, those things are small. I could almost carry it as a remote.
The chat room, George is telling us that it's manufacturer specific. You just have to be in the room and you're taking over the one that the presenter is using, but it is manufacturer specific. So,
oh, great. Now we got George holding our feet to the fire.
You don't want to mess with George.
No, sir. Don't do it.
He's just the kind of guy who will take over your presentation, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and straighten you out.
We got to keep an eye on him. And speaking of eyes. The telescopic eye implant has been approved for the FDA. The bionic eye is real.
Yeah, that's it. That was the...
You're thinking about the running sound.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got excited.
We love eye implants, and we've seen our share of them, and this one is pretty sweet, although it isn't the creepiest one by a long shot. That prize would go to the one that the guy uses a human tooth to hold in the lens. Ugh, I saw that. Ugh, that just gave me the heebie-jeebies.
But it helped him see.
In the works for well over a year and approved by the FDA a couple of days ago, VisionCare Ophthalmoletic Technologies implantable miniature telescope is intended for patients over 75 years of age who are suffering from end-stage macular degeneration. I think I said that right. Mm-hmm. I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on a podcast. As with any tricky new surgery, this one is not without risks, including the need for corneal transplant due to the device's size. According to CBC News, in clinical testing, 75% of over 200 patients had their vision improved from severe or profound impairment to moderate impairment. And there are two more studies on the way. One will follow up with existing implants, while the other will outfit 770 new patients with the device. The cost? $15,000.
It's a chunk of money, but that's not bad considering, I guess.
You know it's going to come down and improve.
Well, that's, you know, I can only imagine that somehow they're going to cram a camera in like some kind of wireless interface.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Can you start streaming to the internet?
Well, not to the internet, but like you could have something else in your brain so you don't have to run a wire to it. But,
hey,
but
then, YouTube, check but then
you have
out.
George. Then you have George Starcher trying to hack it.
They hack your eye. It just looked like that Futurama episode.
I just saw that PowerPoint slide. Now it's flipping back and forth in my head.
I wonder if you could use it to record dreams or project your dreams.
Mm. No, you don't want to record dreams. That's just a bad thing.
That's creepy.
Yes.
Moving on. Speaking of creepy and bizarre, the wireless, actually the invisible mouse, the mouseless has been... generated. They've I'll just read it here. Mouseless is an invisible working computer mouse built by MIT PhD student Pranav Mistry. Mystery? The mouse, or lack thereof, is controlled by using your hand with no hardware to control the pointer on your screen. So the video that they have on YouTube, the guy's just moving his hand around as if there was a mouse underneath, clicking and whatnot on the tabletop, and it's doing what you would expect. And at first, they have this cute Tom and Jerry cartoon that goes along with it, embedded with the content of the video.
When they're cute.
The actual workings of this is a laser that's scanning across, horizontally on the tabletop, and a camera that understands how your hand is moving. So it would feel kind of weird at first, but if you're used to using a touchpad, I'm wondering if they start to build in the gestures, like on the MacBook Pro, where you can do two, three, or four finger gestures. If you could start doing that on the desktop.
If you laid your hand flat, maybe you could do something. Give it the Vulcan.
Neck pinch and your computer dies.
I was thinking the Vulcan high five,
Oh, the split hand thing?
Gestures, yeah. Hey, it'd give a whole new meaning to the emoticons.
How's that?
With some hand gestures.
You mean like flipping him the bird?
Yeah. It's on Twitter. Now you can smell it. Now you can gesture.
That's not good. That's not good. Oh, hey.
I actually thought it was a neat concept. And if you just put your hand on your desk and move it around, I don't think it's that far fetched of a, to ask somebody to do that.
I'd like to see where this goes. And of course, for it to take off, they're going to have to start embedding devices like a little laser and camera into the laptop somewhere. It certainly cuts down on the problem of trying to remember to bring a little portable mouse or using the touchpad or trackpad. Me, I honestly don't care for external mice for the most part. If there's a track point or a touchpad, I'll use that first.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I think, it depends. If I'm just doing some casual browsing, sure. If I'm trying to do some real computing, I want to be able to move the mouse exactly where I want to put it on the screen and do that. You need a mouse to be accurate.
And are you going to be doing that on your laptop while you're sitting on an airplane or something? Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. A trackpad's fine for, some maybe spreadsheet stuff. I'm talking about, usually people go, hey, can you edit this picture for me?
Well, there's something I just thought of. You're sitting on an airplane and you set your laptop up on the tray. Where are you going to be moving your hand around? On the guy's lap next to you? On his tray?
Well, keep in mind, this is not a product. This is a MIT student or whatever.
Yeah, it's a proof of concept. But if you did something like this, you still need the real estate next to you to move your hand around, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if it'd get away with a track. It would do away with a trackpad. Maybe augment it. I don't know.
I'm just thinking of what the real world use is of this. If I'm sitting in my chair in an airport, and normally, where would you put your mouse? You'd put this thing.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I would rather use an external mouse on a desk. Now, I understand I'm not going to start pulling out cables and Bluetooth stuff, this, that, and other, trying to make a mouse work on a plane, but
I'm just trying to visualize real world use cases for this thing.
Mm-hmm. Somewhere where you want wireless, but wireless mice aren't that great. You got to charge them and stuff,
right?
So.
And you got to keep the little USB dealy, somewhere convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So, okie doke. On to the hacks and strange stories.
All right.
Lenny! Hacks and strange stories! First up is our revisit to our story about the super powerful laser. I think we reminded you that George Lucas did not like this because it looked too much like a real laser and they were using the words lightsaber. So from Slashdot, we find out that George Lucas thinks that bulky handheld lasers should not be produced because they are his intellectual property.
Yeah.
What, he has the market on corner? He has the corner market on bulky handheld lasers?
Well, this is referring to the Pro Arctic laser that we saw that we even commented it looked like the shape of a lightsaber. And of course, has the power to burn stuff from a long distance. It's a pretty amazing device. And he was saying that he sent him a cease and desist letter because it looks like no, I think he was implying it infringed on his trademarks and intellectual property on the lightsaber. I'm like, come on, you didn't develop one. You CGI'd one.
So what was your comment? They could change the design and just say, all right, take that, Lucas.
Yeah, why not? They said they make it into a pistol.
Works for me. Now it's a Star Trek thing.
Yeah. But
Roddenberry's estate on your butt.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw one comment that they're not really infringing on his trademark because they didn't actually call it a lightsaber. You know, it's a device with a laser in it.
So it's a lightsaber because it has a third fewer calories than the regular saber.
Recommended by 3 out of 4 dentists. But my other point that I thought of was, you know, a lightsaber was about what? 2.5 feet long, maybe?
2.350. Huh? Depends where you buy it.
Well, you know what I'm saying. It's only a certain length. This is just a laser. It keeps going.
Right.
So.
Well, yeah, I'm thinking how many droids could you nail from like 100 yards? It seems like this makes more sense than what Lucas came up with. He just had
Luke
a fluorescent tube.
He was a little short-sighted. Yeah. He's a little short-sighted.
Do you think he's compensating for something, donkey?
Yeah.
If that's the case, why do you even need a blaster at your side? Just use your...
Why can't you just turn a knob on the end of the lightsaber and make it extend 10 feet and just kind of wave it around?
Because it wouldn't fit in the picture frame. Look like Bender's eyes when he bugs out.
Yeah. Now with Blu-ray and 3D, you can.
All right. I think we beat that horse to death. Take
with
that, Lucas. You know,
No, sir. I don't like it.
Thanks for the Ren and Stimpy reference.
I know you get it.
From Geekology, we have I think it's a gentleman who made up his bedroom to look like the cockpit of a 747. And you know, Geekology. No, I think it's IO9 that is it. Geekology or IO9 that gets a little crude with their commentary. I'm not even gonna lie.
Geekology does sometimes. Yeah.
I've never made love in an airplane. Something about I'm sure if some of our listeners haven't heard of the Mile High Club, it's when you.
All right. Remember, your daughter's in the room.
Fornicate in the airplane at high altitude. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Something about trying to get in that tiny bathroom. An overweight businessman just spent 20 minutes vacating the fast food from his bowels in makes my little man want to shrivel up and hide in the overhead bin.
You know, we don't have to read this whole thing.
Okay. Maybe just that's just me. Okay, yeah, my question is, there's some commentary about whether or not he actually put all the gauges and dials and things on. It looks like he printed out a mural.
It's like a poster.
Yeah, and it's flat on the wall. Still,
I think it looks like a poster because apparently does. There must be a window behind the bed on the other side of the bed or something because you can see the shine on the screen on the.
Oh, he might have a soft light or something.
No, look at the edge of his bed. It's a lot of light there. Either that's a flash or a window. But then if you look
right
in that
right,
same
okay,
direction
yeah.
up on the wall, you'll see it's a shine from that same light.
Okay. Whatever. It's because the yolk on the you know, the yolks are huge. They're like 8 feet tall. Mm-hmm.
That's what she said.
Well, speaking of she, I'd like a female perspective on this, Julie. If this is a man's bedroom and you walked into this thing, what would you think? Would you marry a man or even move in with someone who had a bedroom that looked like this?
Probably not.
It's like too manly. So my comment was, good luck with that,
I
buddy.
See Julie. Oh, look at the time. I got to get.
And Julie's got a pretty geek streak to her, so I know she'd be open to many things. But that one, I'm just going to let go and say, good luck.
Good luck.
All right, you
wait a minute. Yeah. Now, if he made it look like the bridge of the Enterprise, hey, now we're talking.
Whole different business. Whole different situation there.
Yeah, this looks like a shuttlecraft. Come in.
Step up there, man.
Yeah, this looks like the deck of the Serenity. Yeah.
All right, moving on, we've got a gentleman who bought an APC UPS on eBay only to find out it didn't work, surprisingly enough.
So, yeah, bricks don't generate energy.
You ruined it. He said the APC backup 600 wasn't working, so this guy brought it to his local service center, and this is what they found, and they've got a six-picture series where they open it up, and instead of a battery inside, there's a newspaper and a brick.
Which, now, oddly, the brick would probably give it the same weight.
It would. I was thinking the same thing. That's pretty low. I'd give that eBay seller a bad rating, and, well, now I'd even tell... who is this? Thechive.com. I'd say use his name so nobody else buys anything from this.
Well, what's funny is if you look at the wiring, they went through the trouble to make it work.
Yeah, because they just cross-connected the the power.
Yeah, but there's no battery. I mean, to bypass a battery, that's kind of funny.
Oh, my goodness. And I like the comments down there that say, oh, man, he bricked it.
Oh, sadly, that didn't cross my mind. That's a good one.
What are you going to do?
That's a good one.
All in all, it's just another brick.
Actually, you know what? I was thinking that actually looked like an older UPC, so I probably wouldn't have bought an older UPC, thinking that the batteries, you know, kind of lose their potency after a while.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to switch things around just because we're about in the middle of the show. We're going to do the Media Corner before the Remember When, right after we take a real quick break.
Okie dokie.
Just going to mess with you and probably screw with my show notes here, too. We'll be right back.
He rolls 20 every time. He laid out plans for man to reach Mars and return safely on a cocktail napkin. The next day... it was approved. He always knows where his towel is. He is the most interesting geek in the world.
I don't always listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Technorama. Stay geeky, my friends.
We asked 100 people what they thought of Technorama, and we got the same answer. What is Technorama?
This is John Chatterton from Deep Sea Detectives. You're with Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Julie's forgetting the graphic on the webcam, but we'll get it up there. All right. There we go. Now she's got it. All right, first up is an 80s version of the Firefly intro. This is done by the people over at IO9. I think we were just talking about them. This is great stuff. Julie's got...
hang on.
She's working on the video for those of you on the stream. But I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard of Firefly by Joss Whedon, right? Well, you combine that with like the old Donald Belisario intros for Magnum PI or something, and this is actually very, very well done. It's very creative, and then they even have a little video of the closing credits too, so, with like still shots and whatnot. Where did you find this?
I don't remember. It was just somewhere in my RSS feeds, and I was like, okay, I've got to see this. And sure enough, I like it where they kind of stop the action, you know, for a second and show the title, like the character's name, you know, like they did in the show.
I almost like this better than the real one.
I know. Yeah, I know, right?
Although you can never really take away the original Firefly theme. But maybe you could use this for a flashback episode or something.
Yeah. But then I went looking, and then right in our show notes, right below that, they did the end credits too.
Yep.
Which was almost as good.
It's got that guitar theme, not the, you know, the one that was used in the original Firefly, but this is more again like the Magnum, you know, the 80s. You could picture a hair band playing this thing. It's great.
Yeah. It is good. There's Summer Glau smiling, totally out of character or something there for a moment.
I'm looking, where is my thing from the UNIVAC? Doggone it. There it is. All right, that's off a bit. Next up in the Remember When, we have... Oh, wait a minute. Am I out of order here?
You're out of... You mixed it up.
Yeah, I know I did.
Yoda recording his bits from Tom Tom.
We did meet... Yoda! Yes, thank you. I thought we were in Remember When. Yoda, we talked about Darth Vader a little while ago. You know, take the third exit at the roundabout. Right? And that was all fun and everything. Well, Yoda has done his... recording. They show him in the studio. Well, at first they don't even know he's there because he's so short. You know, it's funny.
He taps on the window with his in the studio glass.
Found me, you have. And I got to tell you, I watched that video, and then I went to karate, and all of a sudden I see this for practicing for the swords. There's kind of like these nylon covered Nerf swords, so as you're practicing, you don't get hurt. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I see this red Nerf sword walking behind this wall, and I thought of Yoda at that point. And it took me about 5 seconds to figure out, why is that sword moving all by itself? It was very vertical, walking along. A very short person is carrying that, and there's only one person that is that short who would be carrying a sword, and it's the owner's daughter, who's about 14, 15, 16 months old. And I'm yeah. Yeah, Harper's got a sword, and she just, then she comes by the exit, and she's just got this biggest grin on her face, like, Mommy, Mommy, look what I got! You know, she's got this sword that's two times taller
than
she is.
Does she sound like Yoda too?
No, that was
Take
what was going through
or
her head.
Not.
Yeah. Lightsaber,
hey,
this
I like
is
one
mine.
Of the I like one of the comments here. A wrong turn you have made to the dark side.
Exactly. Could you say things without talking about the dark side? We're not going to say every line that's in here. It's funny. If you haven't watched it, you got to watch it.
Hey, he starts making the sliders move on the mixer.
And the mic and the headphones are floating around behind him. Yeah, there's a lot of great visuals in there too, as well as of course all the Yoda stuff. A lot of good stuff. And speaking of Star Wars, we have the entire Star Wars opening scene. You know, with Princess Leia and in comes Vader. Done.
As an 80s intro. I'm kidding.
No, not done as an 80s intro. Done in a subway. So they have the stormtrooper.
Sandwich shop? I love those sandwiches.
No. Like a underground railroad kind of thing. Not
a New York subway.
Type. New York subway, yes. And the actors are going through their lines and all the people around them is fun to watch. They're just smiling, taking pictures and stuff.
Yeah. I'll say the camera's busted out in the middle of it. Oh.
You are a rebel and a traitor. And people are laughing.
Yeah, this is from the Improv Everywhere people, the same ones that did the Ghostbusters thing.
I missed the Ghostbusters. I have to go back and watch that.
Oh, it was great. I mean, it's kind of short because they're in the library, and the library staff had actually arranged it because it was like the 25th anniversary of Ghostbusters or something like that.
Anyway, I'm feeling old.
Really? Well, I got some stories to tell you. Anyways.
Thanks. Yeah. We were at dinner in San Diego, and this girl was born after we were married. Oh.
Yeah.
And she's an account rep. I said, you're younger than our flower girl at our wedding. This is crazy.
Yeah, it's like my boss said he was going to his 40th anniversary. His 40th...
Reunion?
High school reunion, excuse me. And... So I was like, oh, really? His 20th high school at reunion. And I said, I was thinking, I had mine like 4 years ago.
That's
wonderful.
That's not so bad. All right. Now, I think we're ready for the Remember When, right? You ready for that, Julie?
Okay.
We're so queued up here.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And Technorama remembers, of course, Shatner and Nimoy. This one done in one of their clips from, when was this, like 1977 or something?
Look at their clothes. The clothes date them.
It wasn't too far after the first motion picture is what I'm thinking. Because they were talking about making the movie. No, they were just talking about being on the set, weren't they? They didn't really say the set of what.
Yeah.
Hey, someone's got a video linked here to Dragon Con last year. Looking at the links on the other side. Like, hey, we were there.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Oh, on the, yeah, on the YouTube page. I gotcha.
Okay. Anyway, they're talking about how, what a mean guy William Shatner is. And Leonard Nimoy is going, this is a mean guy. Bill's a mean guy. He stole my bicycle.
And it went on from there.
It went on because apparently it was a fair distance from the set to the commissary where they ate. So Leonard brings in his personal bicycle and he would ride the bike. And Bill got mad because, like, you know, Leonard's always first in line. That's not fair. So he stole the bicycle and he put it,
logical.
Put it in his dressing room. And apparently put one of his Dobermans in there with it, so it was safe.
Yeah.
It's just a great
story. And then
he tried
to tell him, well, I was just saving it for you, Leonard.
The chemistry between these two is wonderful.
And you know what? Totally, it echoes what we saw at Dragon Con. They acted the same
way. Oh, exactly. Julie was saying, is this scripted? And I said, I'll bet they've run through it a couple times to make sure they do it right.
But, or maybe they at least knew what they were talking about.
Yeah.
But they'd known each other for so long. And then while watching it, I was thinking, this is exactly the way they acted at Dragon Con.
It is. Yeah. I said, Julie, that's exactly how it came across, too. It was very natural and fun, and they were jabbing at each other.
Mm-hmm.
How come I wasn't in the movie? How many times did he ask that?
If Shatner had not seen the movie when we saw him, you know, he kept saying he hadn't seen it yet. I was like, no, yeah, right.
That was like 3 months after. He probably got a preview.
He's seen it.
He's probably on the set somewhere.
He was just playing, to be honest with you, this is what I thought. I thought he was playing up the whole aspect of, oh, I'm not in it. No, I'm not in it. You know, and playing it up just for promotion's sake and for, you know, to get his
audience
name out there
fun.
And start and get people to see the movie. Yeah, it was all for fun.
Julie, you watched this right before the show started. What did you think?
It was funny. I didn't watch all of it. I didn't get to the end.
I think she got interrupted the same way I got interrupted when I think you called me right in the middle of watching this.
Oh, I thought you were going to say dinner.
So, a lot of fun. Another conversation that's a lot of fun is, amazingly, a conversation with a UNIVAC. You know what a UNIVAC is, right?
Yes, I talked to him recently. Remember we had you talking to me or your daughter?
No, I don't know what that is.
Julie doesn't know what a UNIVAC is. Craig, tell her what a UNIVAC is, smarty pants.
It's a computer.
It's a really old computer.
Hey, well, remember we've had him on the show, the Great UNIVAC.
Well, we made a parody of the Great UNIVAC.
No, no. Don't cross the fourth dimension there. I mean, break the fourth wall.
Break the fourth wall. Theater of the mind, baby. Those of you who've been listening for a long time know what we're talking about. The well, this is a printout from a conversation when this woman was apparently 15 years old, which would have been early 70s. I'm surprised there was a UNIVAC still around. But it's a hard copy paper printout that's scanned in here. I'm not going to read through all the technical mumbo jumbo, but it's got like /logon x0-WSW. Yeah, I think he's in the chat room. Oh, that's WSM.
Yeah. Yeah. He's actually a droid.
You go down a little further. It says, welcome to Mansfield State College. Continue? Yes, no. It says, no. that's interesting. CP500, loading, basic, 05, slash, and they're typing in commands. It finally gets down here, typing today's date numerically, month, day, year. They spelled day kind of funny. D-E-Y?
That is kind of weird.
Today is Monday.
Hey, the computer made a mistake.
It says, today is Monday, I hope. Hello, I'm the UNIVAC 70/3 computer. Tell me your name. The lady types in Nancy. How old are you, Nancy? 15. So, you are 15 years old. Do you know offhand how many days old you are? It says, a simple yes or no will do. No. Okay, I'll tell you. In what month, dollar Wava? It's got some weird symbols out here.
Wava?
Line error retransmitting. I think this was over a modem.
Yeah.
What was that, Chewbacca's modem?
Yeah.
What month were you born? November. On what day? 6. Or it might say -6 here. I'm wondering how much they scrubbed their data.
No, WMRE born on.
It says, you are 5,821 days old. You were born on the day 715449 AD. And on January 1st, 2000, you will be 1,531 days old. How about that?
I'd rather see 30 than...
So, it's really kind of interesting that somebody wrote an application that had this little conversation with somebody. This would be a good exercise for you, Julie, if you wanted to learn programming.
You were born under the contraposition of the planet Uranus.
Yeah, it gives a horoscope then.
She said Uranus.
Remember biorhythms? Do you remember those? There's like a biorhythm program on almost every platform. Yeah. You'd put in your birthday and it would, and then today's date, and it would say, here's how you should be feeling, you know, an up cycle and a down cycle physically and mentally and emotionally. And I'm like, yeah, what a crock that was.
I'm sure I can download it on my Android device.
On the Commodore 64 simulator.
Yeah, that's right.
So 73, they've got me beat for some of this old output. But the 70s were also good for board games, if you remember those. Apparently, BP put out an old board game in... Now, was it BP in the early 70s?
It had to be. Yes, because... it had to be.
I know BP bought up a lot of Standard Oil assets and things in the U.S., so maybe British Petroleum has been around for that long over in the U.K. Oh, here's something fun we ought to try since I just mentioned UK. We should try an entire show without any acronyms. Somebody did a presentation like that this week. They said, I'm going to try and do it without any acronyms. And when he got to things like UK, we went, wrong.
Well, yeah, because that one's so heavily used, it's hard to...
And he was from the UK, which made it even worse.
Oh, so that's, yeah.
We'll have to try a show like that sometime. No acronym.
From the USA.
The United States of America, you'd have to say.
Yeah.
And how boring would it be to say transmission control protocol / internet protocol all the time? Bleh.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Don't say HTML.
This comes to us from fieldnotes.msnbc.msn.com. From London, an obscure BP-themed board game in which players aim to avoid rig disasters has become an unexpected hit at a British toy museum. BP Offshore Oil Strike was released in the early 1970s and allows up to four players to explore for oil, build platforms, and construct pipelines. The first player to earn $120 million wins. Its hazard cards include blowout, rig damaged, oil slick, cleanup costs, pay $1 million. Oh, if only they could get away with $1 million today.
I know.
The oil spill continues for 93 days. Your stock is dropping rapidly.
I know. Well, sadly, yeah, I just thought it was so odd when I read about this that, wow, you know, it was kind of foreshadowing, except for this one takes place in Europe.
To date, they've spent, according to this article, $3.12 billion dealing with the Deepwater Horizon spill.
This is an older story. No, July 6th. That's not that old.
That's not that old.
Yeah. Apparently, it's amazing.
The game is worth about $115 US or 75 British pounds. So that's pretty spooky how they had that come out in the 70s. But you never know. The games could have come out for just about anything.
Can you imagine some executive at BP? Hey, I've got this great idea. How about a board game?
About drilling for oil.
Yeah. We'll throw in spills and everything else. It'd be fun.
Teach them. Because then when those kids grow up, they could work for us. Oh, wait a minute. That might have something to do with this.
Then
we'll
monitor their score.
The game.
They'll get on the internet and we'll monitor their scores, and the brightest ones, we'll hire them. What's the internet? I don't know.
And nobody bought the game, apparently.
Yeah.
We used to have a game called the Driver's Ed game. What a loser game that was.
Driver's Ed game?
Yeah. It was kind of laid out like Life, where you drive a little car around, but you'd, mm-hmm. you'd roll the dice and take the turnpike. Oh, pay a toll. Oh, you bumped into another car. Go back. It's like,
I mean, turnpike. It must have been something from up north. We don't have turnpikes down here.
I don't call it a turnpike. I think there's one in Pennsylvania. That's the only turnpike I know about.
Okay.
All right, that takes us to the end of the articles. Oh, wait, we have one more. I'm sorry. The Geek Library. I found this while cruising around. I don't remember where I found this, but it was just fun. From Geekosystem.com. Turn your life into an RPG. The Epic Win iPhone app. Apparently,
you know what? My life is already an RPG.
This is a way to take your tasks. All right? You take your tasks that you normally do. You know, take out the garbage, change the laundry, take the kids to soccer practice, whatever it happens to be. You've got these tasks on your to-do list in your iPhone, and as you check them off, you gradually accumulate points and you move to the next level. So if you wanted to be I'll read it out here because they have better examples than I do. After two Massachusetts teenagers hurled Molotov cocktails at the neighborhood building a la Grand Theft Auto last month, the media was once again aflame with the time-worn truism that gamers are wretchedly divorced from reality. Hardly. They were merely delinquents who couldn't even properly assemble a Molotov using a flame-retardant cloth. Idiots. Any serious gaming savant would refer to their floppy disk of the anarchist cookbook lodged away in their basement. But then again, they'd be too busy schlepping through Dwarf Fortress or hiding under boxes to give a, you know what, care.
Yeah.
We're too busy worrying about the in-game epic wins to care about the in-life epic wins. What? We're too busy worrying about in-game epic wins to care about the in-life epic wins. Okay, gaming scholar Jane McGonigal is especially interested in replicating the very concrete and fulfilling expression of a success in virtual reality, i.e. leveling and skill progression, in the real world. This upcoming iPhone app, aptly named Epic Win, from the makers of Little Big Planet, looks like an interesting experiment that could take a step in that direction. Epic Win boasts some serious video game maker cred, with Rexbox of Little Big Planet and Studio Feng Feng of Mini Squadron. The premise is simple. Complete a to-do list of tasks in real life, e.g. washing dishes, making your bed, and in turn, your character, complete with its own avatar, will level and gain loot in the game. Whether your gamer's forced to play by their loved ones in an attempt at rehabilitation will cheat is yet to be seen. All right, so you wind up being like a fourth level soccer mom.
Yeah.
I'm a level 10 garden. Well, you could be a garden gnome, couldn't you?
I'm a level 8 ditch digger.
I got to take care of all the chores outside. Cut the grass and trim the hedges. And Julie, what would you'd be? A study princess?
Sure.
Steady princess.
So, I was thinking about this. Speaking of which, study princess, you got a bit of good news from you. You got like +5 science points and +5 calc points and +4 history points on your advanced placement test this last week. That was pretty awesome.
Do what now?
She took her advanced placement test back in April. There were four tests, Julie?
Three.
How did you get 4 scores, though? I think I had like 2 math scores in there somewhere.
Oh, because it's Calc BC, so it's the first semester and second semester.
Oh, okay. And she just got awesome scores. Out of 5, she got 5 in 3 out of 4 of them.
Two out of three.
Well, I saw 4 scores on there.
All right.
4 scores in 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And did some pretty awesome things with her ACT scores, too, so... College is looking good for the study princess over there.
Mm. Where do you want to go?
I don't know.
Disney World.
Yeah. Disney University.
Hey, she'd be a heck of an Imagineer, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
She's got the geek points for it. Yeah. All right, that's going to take us to the end of the show. We appreciate you giving us your time. Oh, one final moment point thing. One thing to tell you is we are headed to Dragon Con 2010. Even though this thing says 2011, I think someone's getting a little eager in the show notes. We're headed to Dragon Con.
Planning for next year already.
We haven't gone to 10 yet. Maybe something happened to the plans. No, we are going to 2010.
You know why it says 2011? Because it's one better than 10.
It goes up to 11. Yeah. It will be there September 3rd. I believe we have a show Friday night at 10 p.m. According to Craig,
that's the plan.
That's what you said in the last show. Thanks for covering
it. Well, that's the plan. So, if we find out otherwise, we'll let you know.
If the plan changes, just follow Technorama on Twitter and we'll let you know. We're going to be there. We'd love to hear from you. We want to know if you're going to be there. I know there are a lot of people that are going to be there already. I mean, like thousands and thousands of them, some of whom are our fans and followers and whatnot. And we would love to just, even if it's sit down.
And some of whom who have never heard of us.
We're going to make sure they remember the name Technorama by the time Dragon Con's over. How's that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, even the police department.
Let's hope it doesn't come to sirens during our show again.
Yeah.
We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. Call in on the listener line 206-222-CHAT. You can also, I think if you got Skype out or something, you can reach that from just about anywhere. Technorama@chuckchat.com is the email address you want to contact. Like I said, Technorama, C. Tomasi, or Step K on Twitter. Website, you can find that at chuckchat.com. It's pretty obvious. The rest of the stuff is there. How to contact us. If you're a podcaster and want to run a promo or something, we get tons of them there. Let them go, including the most interesting geek in the world, I think you said, are just put up there too, right?
Yep, they are on chuckchat.com/promote.
Stay geeky, my friend. There's also a tip in the tip jar. I'm going to have another interview coming out shortly into the members feed. So those of you who are donating $2 a month, we appreciate that greatly. Look for some more content coming your way. And we got some more stuff in the pipeline on that I will speak of later. Special thanks to Mad Marv for all the great blog content. I loved how Craig did this from memory in his car.
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it?
Well, actually, I recorded it twice. One while driving and one while sitting still.
Secrets coming out. Special thanks to Mad Marv for all the great blog content. Ustream for storing our live streams and keeping them going on Sunday night. If you happen to be around on Sunday night, we'd love to hear from you. Join us in the chat room. You don't need to log in. You just need to be imaginative and participate. It's fun, too. Great crew there. Thanks to all the crew over at thinstack.net for the chat room. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also a member of Farpoint Media. A lot of great podcasts there. They also host our files. We're greatly appreciative to them. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And would you do the honors? Craig, give us a binary high five.
I can do it. 101. Yay.
I must go now to help collect cans on Jupiter. Peace out, y'all!